Hi, welcome to See What Show. I'm Mr. Brown.
And I'm Ling.
This is the movie, TV and DVD review podcast for regular people.
Indeed.
Today, we are reviewing Andy Lau's Three Kingdoms, Resurrection of the Dragon.
Wow. Yeah, yes, yeah. Andy Lau's.
Yeah, Andy Lau.
Okay.
And then what else?
We're also reviewing The Air I Breathe, a very stellar cast. Yeah. I cannot ascribe it to somebody alone.
Oh, so many people. So.
Got Brendan Fraser, got Forest Whitaker, wow. Got Kevin Bacon.
And Alex will share with us her experience watching The Forbidden Kingdom with Jack. Chan. I was going to say Jack Lee. It's a Jack Lee movie.
That's right, fusion to the max.
Jackie Chan and Jet Lee together forever. Mm. So let's look at that later. But first, let's check out what's showing this week.
What's showing this week?
Harold and Kumar.
Two.
North Korean and
Indian.
Indian.
Full name is Harold and Kumar Escape from Guantanamo Bay.
Exactly.
Right.
Well, actually, I don't know, man. Watching the trailer, you can't really get a sense of much of a storyline except for the fact that these two dudes, one Korean, one Indian, they are trying to get to Amsterdam. But for some reason on the plane, there's hijinks and they are suspected as terrorists. And go figure.
I am going to watch this.
Yes,
I'm such a Harold and Kumar fan. Of course, this is a sequel to Harold and Kumar. What was it? Go to White Castle.
White Castle to eat hamburgers.
Yeah, that's such a movie. It's one of those rubbish humor. You know,
a bit like Borat, right?
Different. It's very. It's about getting stoned. It's about hot chicks. You know, it's fun, silly nonsense.
Harold and Kumar Escape from Guantanamo Bay.
Must watch.
Yeah, catchy title, lah.
Yeah. Then there's of course Iron Man, the much awaited movie.
Mm-hmm. Starring,
everyone's been watching that. The trailers. Robert Downey Jr.
Mm-hmm. And my unfavorite actress, Gwyneth Paltrow.
Oh, is it?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Very sad. The trailer is really, really good, and I hope the movie is gonna,
lives up to it.
Yeah. There was a video, and I'll post it on See What Show. There was a video done by the Onion News Network that actually made fun of that.
Mm-mm.
Yeah, fans of the trailer, of the well-loved trailer, are very upset that the movie company is planning to make a movie, a full feature movie from the trailer that they love so much.
Oh, the trailer is excellent, man. Yeah. It's just like action-packed and it looks so exciting. And I will never forget the tagline, lor. Heroes aren't born, they're built.
Yeah, that's Iron Man. Speaking of hero movies, you got Superhero Movie also, which is done by the same people who did Naked Gun and a couple of other, you know, spoof parody stuff. It's the typical thing like epic movie, date movie, superhero movie. This is the character here is supposed to be a Spider-Man wannabe, Dragonfly Man or something. Dragonfly gets bitten by a radioactive dragonfly. Send ups of all the superhero movies you've ever watched.
Okay.
Yeah, it's going to be bad, I think, going by the record of all the other.
Yeah, but then if you watch, I suppose the exciting part is always when if you know a lot of the superheroes, then you get to laugh a lot because you know the inside references.
Still, you know. Don't know, I'm very worried. Let's jump into review time.
Okay.
See what show? See what show? Review time.
Three Kingdoms, Resurrection of the Dragon. Okay, the corniest title ever. This is a Chinese movie based on Romance of the Three Kingdoms.
Wow.
Yes. Written by Luo Guangzhong nearly 600 years ago.
So, Lu, you will be surrendered. Even if it's only one man, one man. 我也要誓守凤鸣山。我佛保佑，我曹英今年侍秦赵子龙。Yeah,
it's a classic. Okay, it's historical as well, you know. So it's a history as well as a novel. It stars Andy Lau, Sammo Hung, and Maggie Q. And also stars a Shaw veteran and icon, Lee Long. Oh, the man himself. Even got pop singer Vanessa Wu.
Wow, F4. Sorry, I'm so not in it.
Oh, so sad. Okay, Andy Lau is Zhao Zilong, Shu Guo's general, who faced the invading forces of Wei Guo, led by Zhao Ying, fictional daughter of warlord Cao Cao. In real life, Cao Cao got son, not daughter. Yeah. Fictional is what I would use to describe this movie. If I want to be kind, I'll call it alternate history.
Okay.
The movie takes liberal liberties with history and novel. Heck, even the generals, they wear helmets that look more like British Brodie helmets.
Mm.
Yeah, you probably walk away thinking, well, the Shu Kingdom equals British forces, and then the Wei Kingdom under Cao Cao are the German forces because the helmets look, like that. Curse of the Golden Flower had more accurate costumes.
Oh dear.
Actually.
That's the benchmark.
Got gunpowder. Gunpowder! Where got gunpowder during the Three Kingdoms? Sorry. I'm very particular about gunpowder. Historical accuracy. The story tells of Zhao Zilong's rise from this common soldier dude to a highly decorated general of the Shu Kingdom. Shu Guo, right? Helping Liu Bei fight Cao Cao's Wei Kingdom forces. Sammo Hung plays this fictional character called Luo Ping An, who is also the narrator of the story. He's a fictional blood brother that Zilong saves early on in the movie, and then ends up following Zilong for the rest of the movie lah.
Mm.
As he rises to become a general, this career soldier Sammo Hung just follows lah.
Mm.
Every battle he go lah, because must be blood. It's a blood thing lah. You saved my life, what? Zhao Zilong was one of the five tiger generals, better known as Zhao Jun. Zhao Yun. Better known as Zhao Yun. Okay, sorry. Not very good with the Chinese. One of the five tiger generals sworn to defend the Han Imperial family. This is real life one. History.
Okay.
The other four is Guan Yu, Zhang Fei, Ma Zhao, and Huang Zhong. I think I got it right. Yeah, these are the famous. I mean, everyone knows Guan Yu and Zhang Fei. I mean, they are legendary generals.
Yes.
So, Zilong wins one victory after another, undefeated. He seeks to unite the three kingdoms of 220 AD China, and he becomes the enemy and bane of warlord Cao Cao. And also later, his Eurasian-looking daughter, Zhao Ying, who plays this pipa and what is it, who? And when she battles and doesn't say very much. And Maggie Q doesn't look Chinese, cannot speak Chinese, and cannot act. So she's this flower vase character.
Really?
Yeah. In fact, the fun part is you notice she is actually lip syncing to some alien voice, some other voice, otherworldly voice that's not hers, speaking Chinese. So it's bizarre, to say the least.
Hmm.
The bits that annoyed me was how Zilong was depicted as even greater than Guan Yu and Zhang Fei. I mean, come on lah, these guys are even bigger legends. I mean, they're all five tigers, but still. If you're not familiar with the Three Kingdoms history or the Three Kingdoms novel, then you might enjoy this movie a little bit more.
Mm.
But if you are, you get annoyed, man. The fight scenes were quite exciting, but they brought to mind Dynasty Warrior computer game. One man sweeping his, sword and staff and just killing tens and thousands of men by himself type in the battlefield. Andy Lau does his whole brooding warrior general thing again.
Yes.
It was his Mukong movie, Battle of Wits, Mukong, that brought some interest back into this whole epic period drama movie. So I suppose it's easy walk for him, cakewalk for him to do the whole, brooding general thing again.
But sometimes it's like that, right? He does it he kind of establishes the look for it, and then people just,
I want that,
don't try anything new.
Yeah, no. I think the movie is barely watchable, and I say this very, very barely, 51% just passed.
Ayo.
Yeah. The title is really corny. Huh?
Mm.
And the movie felt very rushed, and it tried to squeeze too much into one movie. I mean, it's Three Kingdoms story very big.
Mm.
It's an epic, it had way too much narration. It was depending too much on Sammo Hung's narration.
Mm.
That's a bad sign already, right? When you start narrating too much. You've gone through that before. What's that one? The cowboy one?
The cowboy one. Oh, the Jesse James.
Yeah, same.
Well, but yeah.
Okay. Mm. Beautifully shot, I have to say. Fight scenes were a little bit stale. Exciting, but it's old stuff, lor. And the way, actually the choreography was good, but the way they cut in, cut out, the editing spoiled it.
Oh.
Made it very blur. They don't know what's going on. Right. So this one is the fault of the editing. Whatever good execution it had, couldn't save it from a very poor, shallow story. I would say this is an epic fail for such an epic movie. Using a gamer's term, epic fail!
Epic fail, lah.
Yeah, it's a very good term. You must learn this next time when you see things. It's fail and epic fail.
Wow.
Yes, a gaming term. And it felt like a computer gamer. Watch when you have nothing better to do.
Oh, dear.
Yes. So many stars. Couldn't save it. Too high expectation already.
Well, I think that's the thing, right? I mean, everybody must 尽本分. The writer got to write properly. The director got to direct properly.
Everyone put in effort. The acting was fine.
Yeah, well, I mean, that's...
Except Maggie Q's.
Oh.
But she didn't really do anything, so it's okay.
Yeah.
But story,
yeah. But story, la. Story is the big thing, right?
Epic film.
Okay, over to me now. The Air I Breathe. That is the name of the movie.
Right.
This is an indie movie, not unlikable because, it isn't very sophisticated or experimental. And I suppose that can be, those can be terms, right, that we use to describe most indie movies. Either there's something experimental about it.
Or quirky.
Yeah. Or low budget, or, you know, something just out of mainstream, right?
Yes.
So I really found this movie quite obvious in the messages that it wanted to convey.
Uh-huh.
Basically, it's divided into four little stories.
Okay? Oh, one of those four stories things.
Ah, yes.
Is that a budget way of doing movies?
Huh? I wonder. I wonder.
Okay.
And that's interesting because actually, even in Singapore, we have seen kind of movies kind of made with that kind of structure, right?
Right.
12 Stories. Eric Koo did that with 12 Stories. Be With Me.
Yeah.
And I also remember this 1990s movie called Four Rooms starring Tim Roth
as a
bellhop going from room to room in a hotel, and then the weirdest things happen to him.
Yeah.
So it's a little bit like this. Okay, so The Air I Breathe has four little stories. It's separately referred to as Happiness. That's the first episode.
Got team one.
Ah, second one, Pleasure.
Mm.
Third one, Sorrow. Fourth one, Love. Okay. Basically, this is... these are supposed to be ascribed to a Chinese proverb. The four emotions, the four cornerstones of emotions in this Chinese proverb. I'll come to that later.
Sometimes risking everything is the only choice you have.
But you don't seem to be taking any sort of chance.
I wasn't talking about me.
You're young, you're pretty, you sing, you dance. Why should we care?
I knew the secret to a happy life. I envied those who never questioned it. Me? I needed a way out.
50 G's on Butterfly.
And they're off! Butterfly takes the lead!
She needs a transfusion.
I have a blood type. The lab said it's extremely rare.
Hello, can you check again, please? It's very rare.
Next week is too late.
You want to take Tony out on your rounds tonight? Show him the city what we do?
Of course.
Did you know that scars are the roadmap to the soul?
When you can see the future, you think you're capable of changing it. But you're just a witness to coming moments.
Doctor!
Unable to help.
You don't understand, she's gonna die!
You got 2 weeks to give me the money. Each day you're late, I cut a finger.
Every man has his destiny. He can't escape it.
So Forrest Whitaker plays a businessman who bets his life on a horse, a racehorse, in Happiness. Okay? But what happens when this horse goes down during the race? Aha. Uh-huh. Brandon Fraser is a henchman of an underground crime leader who can see visions of the future in the second episode called Pleasure.
Mm.
And basically, he has to decide whether to use his powers for himself or for his boss. La.
Right.
Sarah Michelle Gellar plays this actress who gets...
Yay, Buffy.
She's not Buffy here. In fact, she's quite poor thing.
Sorrow, right?
Yeah, correct. Okay. Who gets into complications with her management contract.
I see.
Yeah, this one is Sorrow. And in the last one, Kevin Bacon, whom I adore, plays a doctor and he tries to save his loved one from death. Okay, so these are the kind of rough storylines. Can't really tell you how they interweave.
Cannot.
Because
that's, if not, just watch.
Yeah, confirm.
It's good enough already. It's a good enough synopsis for us to be accused of giving away the plot.
Exactly.
Right.
And beaten to death. The Air I Breathe has a very strong cast and it's actually fairly strong in concept. I can imagine that if I came to the table and someone presented me this as a pitch, I'll think, oh, okay, can. But I think the sum of its strengths and weaknesses make it a really uneven film, right?
Okay.
As I said earlier on, it's supposed to be derived from a Chinese proverb which basically lists happiness, pleasure, sorrow and love as the emotional cornerstones of every living, breathing being, right? And when I first read this in the online reviews, I was thinking, quite interesting. And I was also quite curious, but I kept racking the Chinese part of my brain to try and find out what proverb this was. And I couldn't find it. So okay. I'm just wondering, maybe it's a deficiency on my part. But the closest I got to was Si Nu Ai Le, which is not obviously this, right?
Okay.
And the other confusing thing about it is that what starts off the film is this particular quote by Henry Ward Beecher that reads, "No emotion any more than a wave can long retain its own individual form." So I was a bit confused, like, okay, so it was derived from this Chinese proverb or this one by this guy? Okay, so a bit confused already.
"A client of mine who paid his debt to me, part of the deal was her management contract. This is her first CD. The sales, through the roof, very promising."
"I'm sorry, I still don't follow you."
"How long have we been doing this?" "Too long. I'm tired of chasing money. I'm tired of teaching lessons to lowlives who won't pay. I've always hoped for more. For both of us. This girl's her way out. I'm sure she's going to be pissed off when she finds out I'm her new manager, but I'll take care of that. You just keep an eye on her. What is it? What do you see?"
"Nothing."
"You see something?"
"I don't see anything."
"What do you mean? She has no future?"
"Oh, she has a future. I just can't see it."
But I think the movie is probably rather perfect for people who are studying film, novices. Why do I say this? Because it's outwardly quite philosophical, but actually the plot development is a little bit cliché and the symbols are really quite obviously planted. I'll give you an example, okay? One of the central linking characters is an underground baddie called Fingers. Shouji, okay? Fingers. He's played by Andy Garcia. Now, why the name, right? Because if you owe him money and you don't pay, you lose your fingers one by one.
A bit obvious, right?
Obvious. Okay, so this is one, okay? But let's continue in this line. As if that's not bad enough, there is a scene where Brendan Fraser, who is his right-hand man, threatens a guy who owes money that if he doesn't pay, he will lose his fingers. And if that's not repetition enough, Andy Garcia's nephew, who appears in the second part, the second episode, right?
He's called Toes.
No, he's not called Toes. He's this like, you know, arrogant fella, and he says, "Fingers, fingers." Basically, he's referring to his uncle and saying and how he's called Fingers because anything he wants, he can get with his fingers.
Oh.
Nothing slips through his fingers.
Okay, enough already.
So, you get the idea, right?
Okay.
Hitting
you on the head with it, right?
Yeah, something like that.
But good for studying for film.
Yes. So, if you can watch it, if you're a fan of the stars, I think. Okay, because they put in good performances. It's just that I'm really not sure about the concept and where this is going.
Okay.
Yeah.
It's got mixed reviews, right?
Yep.
It does. Some people like it to death and a lot of critics are panning it.
I think also it's quite easy to kind of come up with this practical criticism on it because, you know, like I said, a lot of things are very obvious, you see.
Yeah.
And the symbols are like planted.
And do prac crit.
Can. Good for A-level practice.
Oh, no. Let's go over to Alex. I had a chat with her about The Forbidden Kingdom, the Jackie Chan and Jet Li. I was about to say Jack Li again. Jackie Chan and Jet Li movie, Kung Fu movie, and find out what she thinks of this Ang Mo Kung Fu film. Okay, so we are talking to Alex, who watched The Forbidden Kingdom.
Hello.
Tell us about this Jackie Chan and Jet Li movie.
Well, as you have just mentioned, both of them are like kung fu martial art experts, man. You see them half the time fighting with their super skills.
This is the first time they're pairing up, right?
Yeah, apparently this is like the first movie ever on screen.
Both of them?
Yeah, that both martial art superstars are on.
Wow.
Yeah.
Then, how? What is it about?
Well, the storyline, it starts with how this boy from America, he likes Chinese shows. He likes martial art. He likes kung fu.
America? Ang Mo?
Yeah, Ang Mo boy.
Oh.
In a land where heaven touches earth, with an empire divided by war, two legendary warriors, an orphaned girl and a lost traveler, must unite to save the kingdom.
It has long been foretold that a seeker would come and end the reign of the Jade Warlord.
What do we do now?
How good is your kung fu?
He's got no kung fu.
Help! Help!
None.
Hey, he's my student, not yours.
This is insane.
First rule, show respect to your teachers.
You must develop speed, accuracy, and power.
The Jade Warlord has sent a bounty hunter.
A martial challenge to the death.
So be it.
We can kill each other when it's over.
Ang Mo movie,
yeah? Yeah, that's the funny part. Okay, I'll come to that part.
Okay.
But firstly, this guy, he likes kung fu. So what happens is that, yes, he goes to this shop in Chinatown, and he borrows all those Bruce Lee kind of shows so that he can learn kung fu.
Okay.
And what happens is that he finds this this staff in the shop.
What do you mean by staff? Somebody who works at the shop?
No. Pole staff.
Oh, pole. Oh, yeah. Staff. Oh, sorry. Kung fu staff. Okay, sorry.
Yeah, and that staff actually belongs to Sun Wukong.
Oh, monkey god staff.
Yes.
Oh, okay.
So this movie actually incorporates modern America as well as Journey to the West.
Huh?
Yeah, it does.
So what happens? He goes back in time?
Yeah, he holds the staff and he goes way back to ancient China.
Oh, no. Okay, alright. Ang Mo Mehmet to ancient China.
Yeah.
Alright, and then?
So, he goes back to ancient China, and on his quest to return the staff back to Sun Wukong, he meets both Jet Li and Jackie Chan along the way.
Okay.
So, what happens is that they form a team together with this lady called Sparrow.
Okay.
You know, those
it sounds stupid when it's in English, it's, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, and the whole story is in English. So what happens is that they go past mountains and deserts.
Okay.
Just to go to, you know, the five temples, something like five level of temples. You know, in the Journey to the West, that whole story that got this temple thing. Okay. So they reach these five temples to free the monkey god.
To give him back his pole.
Yeah.
Give him back his staff.
His staff. His pole.
Okay.
Sounds weird.
Give him back his staff. Okay. His pole. Okay, the monkey god's pole.
Yeah.
Okay. All right.
The pole is useful, no? Yeah, it gives him the strength. Gives him that incredible strength. So.
Okay. Yeah, it's a magic pole.
Yeah. So the this story is based in English.
Okay, it's all in English.
Yeah. So you hear like Sun Wukong speaking English.
Is it a more like Americanized English or?
No, it's like la la zop zop kind.
Huh?
Kind of broken English.
So it's like Jackie Chan's level of English, ah?
Yeah.
So they found people to act in an English movie who speak Jackie Chan Chinese style English.
Yeah.
Okay, I don't know which is weirder. if you have a movie that's all in American English, or a movie where the Chinese guys speak broken English, I don't know which is. I think either way, it's just weird.
Yeah, it's. I think it's bad lah. Cause Jackie Chan speaking English is alright, but when he plays that certain character, which you're supposed to speak Chinese, you hear English coming out from them. It's really weird. Like it's like it's like listening to the story Journey to the West in English.
Then you see this ape come out with long beard, that kind of thing, isn't it? Then yeah, he opens his mouth, he's all in English.
Yeah, like those, you know, those highest gods and everything, he comes out and then he speaks like, "Hello, you are here." And then you're like, "What?"
He expects him to speak Chinese, right?
Yeah. That's that's what we people I think I reckon that this show is not really for the Asian market.
Did people laugh?
Definitely.
They laughed, huh? Yeah. I don't think you were supposed to laugh, right?
No.
Oh dear.
There were funny parts, you know, with Jackie Chan. There's definitely some comical parts when
his
he comes out.
His usual fighting style.
Yeah, and he's got his usual fighting style. And it was entertaining when he and Jet Li fought, definitely, okay. Because you could see the difference, the way Jackie Chan fought and the way Jet Li fought.
Why are they fighting? I thought they were a team.
Before that, because they didn't know that both of them had the same mission.
Oh, I see. Oh, like that. Okay.
Yeah.
Oh dear.
So that was something to look forward for. When you see like two superstars good at kung fu, you definitely want to watch them fight. So it was something. It was quite an eye opener in that sense.
But you were laughing at all the wrong bits, right? When they spoke English, right?
Yeah, the whole cinema laughed lah.
Is it?
Yeah.
Oh dear.
It was something for us to go like, oh no, you know, this
cringe.
Journey to the West in English.
Somehow they took liberties with this Journey of the West story, I'm sure.
Yeah, I think so.
Suddenly got Amor, right? So do you recommend people to watch this, Alex?
If you are interested in the kung fu parts and not the Journey to the West part, yeah, you should watch.
So okay. you should watch it just for the fighting, not for the story.
Yeah. Really, if you like kung fu, if you like fighting like that American angmoh boy who likes to watch, you know, people fight, then go ahead by all means, because it's the exciting part where you see two superstars. Anyway, you don't really see them, you know, it's not commonly
True.
Seen. Yeah,
they're not in any Chinese kung fu fighting movie also, right? This only in this movie they were united.
Yeah,
alright. So I suppose for that alone, the novelty value of that alone, I suppose you could go watch Forbidden Kingdom.
Yeah, for that only. Yeah.
So this is a Hollywoodized, Americanized kung fu period drama.
Yep.
Okay, why must it always be a white man that saves?
Yeah.
You know.
Remember the other show?
It's always that, right? Last Samurai has to be Tom Cruise, right?
White guys.
Yeah, Sun Wukong cannot find a Chinese guy to be the one.
Yeah, the prophecy was this angmoh guy.
What the hey? I wonder what the prophecy said, right? An angmoh will come and return the pole to Sun Wukong, to the monkey god.
Yeah, sad. Apparently.
Thank you, Alex.
Thank you, Alex. Thanks for sharing about Hollywoodization of period drama.
And that's the end of See What Show today.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
A production of See What Show.com.